until then, just do it now.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. The Yontif of Purim is recorded in Megillas Tainis, which is a book that was written during the period of the Bais Sheni, and has a list of all of the Amud Tovim that the rabbis introduced at that time. Rashi writes in his commentary on the Gemara, why is it called Megillas Tainis? Because this was at the time that the Torah Shem Baal Peh was still being recited Baal Peh. The Mishnayos were not yet written down, the Gemara was certainly not yet written down. But the Megillas Tainis was written, and it starts in this year, Sivan Tamazov, it goes in order, and it lists off all the Yom Tovim in the various months. So there is a sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara discusses, do we still observe these holidays of the Megillas Tainis, which were introduced by Zman HaBayis? All the Yom Tovim has something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara explains that's the common denominator between all of these holidays. There is a mitzvah to celebrate. The Ramban in his commentary Chumash is of the opinion that this is a mitzvah in HaTorah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs to celebrate when you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We read in Parshas Nosai, that's where we read the Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah. We read in Parshas Nosai that the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan, each one of the Nisim of the Shvatim brought special karbonos l'kovet Chanukas HaNisim, l'kovet the completion of the binyan of Beis HaMikdash. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes, in his opinion, this is a mitzvah in HaTorah. Whenever you complete the building of a Beis HaMikdash, we haven't had so many Bat HaMikdash, but whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. How many days you celebrate, and how many karbanos you bring, and which rabbi should hold which drushin, which chazan should sing which nigun, with how much of a choir, that's already negotiable, that's hayrasha. But in principle, this is one of the 613 mitzvahs that you have to celebrate. Some of the later poskim say, when you complete the building of a shul or a beis hamedrash, beis haknesses or a beis hamedrash, the Gemara considers bat mikdashas, bat midrashas, bat kinesias as a mikdash miyat. And some poskim hold that that's menatur, it's not just an asmachta. So some of the later poskim say that there's a mitzvah menatur to celebrate upon the completion of the building of a shul or a yeshiva. Also, Chanukah is based on Knesset because it's an aspect of Chanukah is based on Mikdash. So menatur, the obligation only is to celebrate upon the completion of the building of Beis HaMikdash. So the Chachamim introduced a whole series of Yamim Tovim between 25 and 30 Yamim Tovim over the course of the year, sometimes one day, sometimes 8 days. Chanukah is 8 days, Purim is 1 day, 2 days. Some of the Yamim Tovim are 3 days, 5 days. All of the Tzara Shavu Shabem, all of the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis had something or another to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Every time the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, they would make a Yontif. Why so? There is no din that you make a yontif when Tzahal is victorious in battle. If you have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Chashmonaim are victorious in battle, it means that they saved the Beis HaMikdash from defilement, or they saved the Beis HaMikdash from destruction. So it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It's not that you completed the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The din men HaTorah only applies when you complete the building of a Beis HaMikdash. You're obligated to have Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. That's the Ramban holds, that's the din men HaTorah. But with the Rabbanon, they introduce, perhaps it's even a Kiyum Deraisa, if you save the Beis HaMikdash from destruction, or the Gemara says if someone makes a major donation to the Beis HaMikdash, they donated these golden gates, or if something in the Beis HaMikdash is improved. There were disputes during the Bais Sheni period between the Chachamim and the Tzdukim, whether a private person can donate all the money to purchase the Karbanos Tzibur. So there was quite a period of time that the Beis HaMikdash was being run, was the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash were running things like the Tzdukim said. So when the Chachamim was successful in kicking out the Tzdukim and insisting, Itoikim Tmida, the offering of the Korban Tamid was corrected, that you can only be Yotze, the Tmida Mumasafim, by bringing Machza Shekel money. You can't be Yotze having a private person donate all the money. You're going to hang up the sign, this wealthy family donated this year all the money for all the Karbanos Tzibur. So you're not Yotze the Karbanos Tzibur. So when the Chachamim kicked out the Tzdukim, and they established that the Korban, Tmidim and Masafim, have to be brought to Machza Shekel money, so they made a Yontif, Itoikim Tmidim, or Itoikim Chagat du Shavuaya, when the Tzdukim were running the show on the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos was always on a Sunday, because they would count Sviras Yomim Mimachas HaShabbos. They would start counting on Sunday, and they'd always celebrate Shavuos on Sunday. And the later Christians picked this up. Pentecost always falls out on a Sunday. They picked up the shtick from the Tzedukim. The whole bunch of things that the early Christians picked up from the Tzedukim Bizman Baisheni. So Shavuos was one of them. Beina Bas Yoshim Kachas was another one, another shtick. They were complaining that the rabbis are cheating the women of the equal of their rights. That was the beginning of Christianity. So they picked that shtick up from the Tzedukim and the Zman Baisheni. So observing Shavuos properly has to do with the Beis Hamikdash. When do you bring the Korbanos of Shavuos? Thank you very much. So they made a Yontif. Then the Gemara says, when you straighten out issues with the Sanhedrin Gedolah, Sanhedrin is one of the functions of the Beis Hamikdash. Kuna Gedolah is one of the functions of the Beis Hamikdash. And when you straighten out issues that had to do with the Gedolah, or straighten out issues that had to do with the Sanhedrin, so they made a Yontif. So that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Roshon, a whole sugya, the sugya of Megillas Tainis. The Gemara explains all of the holidays that were added, Bizman Baisheni, all had something to do with improving the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, protecting the Beis Hamikdash, defending, improving the institutions of the Beis Hamikdash, and so on. So the Gemara says, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, all of the Amim Tovim Megillas Tainis are no longer celebrated, because there's no more Beis Hamikdash. When are you going to celebrate about? But there are two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. Manashtana Chanukah and Purim. So the Mefarshim explain, because the Nes Chanukah was not only relevant to the second Beis Hamikdash, the Nes Chanukah was prophesied in advance. The Novei Chagai, the three Nevi'im who were there at the beginning of the Binyan Baisheni, Chagas Chayim Malachi. So Chagai writes in the Treyosar that the people were so depressed. There were old timers who remembered the Bais Rishon. The whole gap was only 70 years between the Bais Rishon and Baisheni. So there were people 80 years old. They remembered the Bais Rishon was so beautiful and so spectacular. And how does this compare? This is an imitation based on this. Is not Ka'ayim Be'anim. This is nothing. This is not a real Beis Hamikdash. So the Navi said in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chazak Zerubbabel v'chazak Hamaretz. No, it's wonderful, it's marvelous, this is what I want. Veretz above, Yikov, build me a Beis Hamikdash, this is what he wants, this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And the word v'yikov da is missing a hey in Chagai. Why read it v'yikov eid? Why do you say it's a kri uksiv? It's written v'yikov eid, and you read it v'yikov da. The Gemara says in Yuma, Elu ha-chamish ha-dvarm she-hoyu chaser me-bayisheni. It's v'yikov da, but the hey is missing because there were five things that were missing in the bayisheni. If you look at all the Midrashim, every Midrash has a different version. There are 25 things that were missing in the Bais Sheni. It didn't compare to the Bais Rishon. And the Psukim say the old-timers were crying. And the Psukim say, surprisingly, you couldn't hear the rejoicing of the younger people. There were more younger people you couldn't hear. They were singing and dancing and rejoicing. You couldn't hear the rejoicing. They were drowned out because of the crying of the old-timers. How does this compare to the Bais Rishon? So the Navi told them, don't worry, it's wonderful, marvelous. I'm going, the Navi Chagai says, B'nevu, I'm going to bring about a nes to occur. I'm going to make a tremendous miracle occur during the period of the Bais Sheni, which will demonstrate that there is a Hashras HaShchina, it's hidden. There is no Gilu Shchina. Bais Rishon, there was Gilu Shchina. He's going to bring about a miracle that's going to occur to demonstrate that it's a tremendous Hashras HaShchina. And when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built, that'll be a Hemshech of the second, and then there'll be a tremendous Hashras HaShchina. So that's what the Mefarsh Masei on the Gemara. We still celebrate Chanukah even after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, because the next Chanukah was not only relevant for the second Beis Hamikdash, it was to demonstrate, to show in advance, that the Hashras HaShchina will, there will be a third Beis Hamikdash where the Shechina will be present. So that's why Chanukah is an exception to the rule. Why is Purim an exception to the rule? So the commentaries on the Gemara raise another issue. According to the Gemara's tradition, the Nes Purim occurred towards the end of the 70 years of Golos Babel. There was no Beis Hamikdash. The history books, the Goyish history books, go back and forth. Every 50 years they say that the Nes Purim occurred in the middle of Bais Sheni, and every 50 years after that they say, no, it happened during the 70 years. I think now they're in agreement with what it says in the Gemara. But the Gemara consistently says like that, that the Nes Purim happened towards the end of the 70 years of the Golus Bavel, when there was no Beis Hamikdash, and the Mefarshim ask Akasha, how can you have the right to make a Yontif at all? The Gemara says, Beferish. It's mashma from the Gemara that it's an Isa Baltosif to introduce a Yontif that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. You're making a new Yontif. If you make a Yontif, it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Ramban says, that's the mitzvah in Chumash. If you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. If you improve the structure, you improve the Hakrovos HaKarbonos, you improve the institutions of Sanhedrin, of Kohen Gadol, which are institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, then it's a Kiyum. It's not a Chiyuv, and it's a Kiyum. But Purim, the story of Purim occurred when there was no Beis HaMikdash, had nothing to do with any Beis HaMikdash. How did they have the right to make the Yontif of Purim in the first place? It should be a violation of Baal Tosif. So the Mefarshim explain, the Chachamim in that generation felt, the expression that they used, they felt this was going to be an Aschalta de Geula. What does it mean, Aschalta de Geula? Geula, in Talmudic terminology, means Binya Beis HaMikdash. Binya Beis HaMikdash. Aschalta de Geula means something that is going to lead towards the Binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chachamim, in the days of Esther, they felt, they didn't know exactly how, they felt this is definitely going to lead to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's why they felt that they had a right to celebrate it. So apparently, even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, they felt that that Nes Purim is an Aschalta de Geula for the third Beis HaMikdash as well. Not just going to lead up to the building in the second Beis HaMikdash. How did it lead up to the building in the second Beis HaMikdash? So the Malbim has in his commentary on Nehemiah, he can't say the book of Nehemiah, the Gemara says Ezra Nehemiah is one book, it's really Sefer Ezra. But we use Christian Bibles, all of us, and the Christian Bibles that we use, the book of Nehemiah is a separate book. So in Nehemiah, it starts off that Nehemiah is the butler for the king, for the Goyish king in Babel, and he's serving the king breakfast in bed, and he has a sad face. Nehemiah has a sad face. So the king asks him, Madu apanecha raim hayom, what are you so sad about? So he says, Gita krecht, he says, they just came from Eretz Yisrael, and they told us how sad the situation is. And it's Shreklach. So the king signs a blank check, and he says, I'll give you all the money you need to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to rebuild Yerushalayim. Why did he, middle of nowhere, just because his butler, who served him the breakfast in bed, has a sad face, so why did he give him all the money? Very unclear. Also, it was unclear. The story says, Nehemiah came to serve breakfast in bed to the king, but Hashegel Yosheb is Etzlo, and the woman was sitting nearby. And then it doesn't say anything about the woman. Who is the woman? His girlfriend, his wife, the queen. Who was the woman? Very unclear. So the Malbim thinks that the pshat was that it was Esther Hamalka. Because this Goyishi king, Artaxasta, who was the king, Melech Bavala, when Nehemiah is serving him breakfast, the first Rashi in the book of Nehemiah writes, Nehemiah was the son of Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka, we read the Megillah in an hour, so you think the story ended in an hour. It didn't end in an hour. They lived together for years and years. They lived happily ever after by Yolid Abonim Abonis. Had a lot of children. So this Goy, he was Jewish. Artaxasta was the son. His father was a Goy Gomer, Achashverosh, and he brought him up like a Gogo. Had no Jewish education at all. But his mother was Jewish. So he happened to be Jewish. So that's how the Malbim interprets the Parsha. Hashegel Yosheb Esetzel doesn't mean his wife. It means his mother was there. Artaxasta's mother was there. So when Nehemiah gave this sob story, and he says, your shliach just came from Eretz Yisrael, and he told us how bad the matzav is. So the mother was there, so she said, Kind meine, I'm Jewish, you're Jewish, we're all Jewish. You better pay for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how the Malbim explains this idea. They felt at the next point, because she had a foot in the Malchus, Esther was there. It was a tragedy. All the people felt it was a tragedy. A Jewish girl had to marry a Goy. She had no bravery. The Gemara says, should have been Yehorig Bal Yavar, should have given up a life. The Gemara explains why it wasn't Yehorig Bal Yavar. But it was a terrible tragedy. A Jewish girl had to live with a Goy for so many years. She had children all brought up as Goy. But the Chachamim saw through this, and they felt this is Aschalta Degula. They felt this is going to lead towards the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the way the Malbim interprets it, it did. She was the one who told her son, you have to build the Beis HaMikdash, you're Jewish, we're all Jewish, you have to support the cause. Yeah, but that explains how it led up to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Why do we still observe Purim even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash? What sense is the next Purim and Aschalta de Geula for the third Beis HaMikdash? So the Navi Yirmiyah lived before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Navi Yirmiyah complains to the Jewish people and he says, I made a bris at Har Sinai, and I gave you all the mitzvahs. Shabbos, Kashmir, Taras, HaMishpacha, Shiloach, Avodim, the Eved Ivri goes free, B'sheish, you violated the bris. I gave you Eretz Yisrael and I gave you Beis HaMikdash because we made a bris. You violated the bris. You violated all the mitzvahs. The deal is off. No more. He's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to kick us out of Eretz Yisrael. Then the Navi says, we're going to have to make v'charateitchem bris chadosha. I'm going to have to make a new Krisis bris. And that will enable you to enter Eretz Yisrael a second time and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And what is the bris chadosha? So the Christians claim the bris chadosha is the bris chadosha. That's what they call the Gospels, the bris chadosha. So that's not correct. So what is the bris chadosha? So you read in Nehemiah, it says that they started the second Beis HaMikdash. The Holy Temple was open for the high holidays, it says. Sounds like a Reformed temple. Holy Temple started on Rosh Hashanah. Like they say, the joke that Moitzoy Yom Kippur, in the Reformed temple, they say services will be held next year on high holidays. And they announce when it's going to be on Rosh Hashanah next year. They don't go to shul. Only 3 days a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Beis HaMikdash started, Bai Sheni started on Rosh Hashanah. And it says it was 2 days Rosh Hashanah that year. That's how the Gemara explains the Psukim in the Nevi'im. And soon after Yom Kippur, they made a Bris Amona. Representatives of all of the Yud Beis Shvatim signed an agreement in the Beis HaMikdash. They commit themselves to observe all the laws of the Torah. That's the Bris HaChadosha that the Nabi Yirmiyah said. And it's because of that, because of the new Kabbalah Sater, the new Bris HaChadosha, that they agreed to observe all the mitzvahs Sater. That's what the Nabi said, that will enable us to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time after the 7 years of Golas Bavel. That will give us the right to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So we didn't, but what's going to be with the third Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, the Nabi Yirmiyah says, this bris is going to be engraved on your hearts. It's not going to be like the first bris. The first bris at Har Sinai, you were mefer, and the whole deal is off. The second bris will be engraved, that's what the Psukim read there in Yirmiyah, will it be engraved on your hearts? You won't be able to be made for that bris. That bris will be an everlasting bris. So it's because of that bris on the occasion, and the Gemara understands the Pasakim of the Kiblu, that it has the mashmas of Kabbalah Satorah. It was a new Kabbalah Satorah at that time. So that new Kabbalah Satorah on the occasion of the Nes Purim is what enabled us to enter Eretz Yisrael at the end of the 7 years of Golas Babel to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And it's that bris on the occasion of the Nes Purim that gave us the ability to establish a Medina in 1948 and to build a third Beis HaMikdash, Yibarim Meherav Yameinu. So the Yontav HaPurim was not only an Aschalta de Geula for the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, it's an Aschalta de Geula for the building of this third Beis HaMikdash again. Because the Nabi Yirmiyah said, this bris will not be able to be, it won't be able to be made for this bris. Even if you violate it, the bris will not be off. This bris is going to be engraved on your hearts. So really, when we celebrate Purim, these two Yom Tovim that remain from the Megillas Tainis, we're celebrating in anticipation of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. They always used to celebrate L'sha Avar. And the Bai Sheni period used to celebrate L'sha Avar, L'zecher, in commemoration of all of the donations that were made to improve the Beis HaMikdash, in commemoration of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was spared from destruction, from defilement, and the institution, the Beis HaMikdash, were improved. But now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, both Chanukah and Purim are celebrated in anticipation of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. And that's the first aspect of Purim that you have to have in mind. We are celebrating in advance, in anticipation of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. We should be zeicher soon b'meherah b'yameinu. The Gemara has also, from all of these 25, 30 Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis, none of them have a Chiyuv Suda except for Purim. In the Shulchan Aruch, they don't point out that it's 29 to 1. They just, the only two you have left are Chanukah and Purim. So they draw a contrast. On Chanukah, there's no Chiyuv Suda, and on Purim, there is a Chiyuv Suda. But it's bigger than Chanukah versus Purim. So all the other Yamim Tovim versus Purim. So Manash Tana Purim from all the other. How come on the other Yamim Tovim with the Rabbanon, there's no Chiyuv Suda? So the Rishonim explain why. We don't have this in our Gemara, but the Mordechai quotes this from the Rav Yoh. He had the Girsa in the Gemara. The reason why on Purim there's a Chiyuv Suda is because Yom Shenitna B'Torah. The Gemara says in Psochim that there's a dispute, a machlokes between Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua. How is one supposed to observe Pesach in Sukkot? Should you have elaborate meals? Well, not necessarily, because there's a contradiction between two Psukim. One pasuk describes Ateres Tia Lachem, you should eat and drink and make merry, Lachem. The other pasuk says Ateres Lachem. Ateres Lachem sounds like you should daven all day long and learn all day long, dedicate the whole day to Avodas Hashem. So it seems to be a contradiction. So we have one of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatranid Reshes by Minish Shnei Ksuvim Amakish Mizazah Sheva Kosev Ashlishi Shechriya Beinayim. What if you have Shnei Ksuvim Amakish Mizazah? There is no Kosev Ashlishi Shechriya Beinayim. What do you do then? So that's a machlokes Hatanoi. So Reb Lezer is of the opinion that whatever you have Shnei Ksuvim Amakish Mizazah, it's understood that it's optional, either A or B. And Reb Yeshua disagrees. And may pass on Reb Yeshua. It's not either A or B. You have to make, there is no kosev ashlishi shechri b'neim, you have to make your own hachra. There's such a machlokes in brachas also, on daf lamed hey, on the base. The Gemara has a steer between two psukim. One pasuk sounds like you're supposed to learn all day and all night. So how are you going to make a living? The paradox is going to fly down in Hashemar. Then the other pasuk says, v'yasavta d'ganecha v'sirosh chavitza recha. So it's shnei ksuvim amakishim zezeh. So we pasuk in la locha, Hanik Bahminik Darcheret. You have to figure out on your own how to be Miyashiv. You have to work for Parnasa, and when you have free time, then you have to learn. When you're busy making a Parnasa, there's no chiv to learn. And the other Tanu holds like Rab Lezer says, no, Bizman Shosim Itzanu Shamokim, Malachna Nasai Darcherim. Bizman Shosim Itzanu Shamokim. It's not that you blend and you make your own compromise between the two psukim. It's either A or B. It's not going to be A and B together. So we paskin over there. Hanik by meaning derech eretz, we blend in together. You have to make a parnasa, and when you have free time, you have to learn. So the same over here, the Gemara says we paskin on Pesach and on Sukkos, chetzi l'Hashem and chetzi l'chem. But the Gemara says on Shavuos there never was a machlokes. Everybody agrees you have to have elaborate meals on Shavuos. You cannot choose an option to sit and learn all day long on Shavuos and to daven all day long. Why? Because Shavuos yom shenitna b'Torah. So all the Mefarshim ask, Adarab, Yom Shanit Matar, you should sit and learn all day long. So they explain, no, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, on the occasion of Maamar HaSinai, Vayechzos HaLakim, Vayochlo Vayishtu. And the Ramban, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, quotes the opinion from the Tanoim, that was improper. Vayechzos HaLakim, like you go to the movies and you're eating popcorn and Cracker Jacks and you're nibbling the whole time while you're watching the movies. So that was improper. Vayechzos HaLakim, Vayochlo Vayishtu. They're eating popcorn during Maamar HaSinai. And the Ramban HaChumash quotes the Medrash that it was Lemal Yusa. It was the right thing to do. Bayechzis HaLakim. There was Kabbalah Satori, Bayochla Bayishto. The covered Kabbalah Satori, you have to make a Suda, Mikan, show some Suda, Legemer Shalter. That's how you know you make a Suda when you make a Siyam Mesichta. When you have Kabbalah Satori, you have to make a Suda. So that's what the Gemara says over here. On Shavuos, Hakol Maidim, even the Tana Reb Lezer, who says that on Pesach or on Sukkot, one could fulfill the mitzvah sayayim by learning all day long, davening all day long, learning all day long. You don't have to have elaborate meals, but on Shavuos, everybody agrees you have to have an elaborate meal. Yom shenit nematar. So that's what the Rabbi Yoah had the girsa in that Gemara. On Purim also, the reason why Purim is different from all the other 25 or so Yom Tovim in the Megillas Tainis, because the other Yom Tovim have nothing to do with Kabbalah Sater. They have to do with Binyan Beis Hamikdash, but they don't have to do with Kabbalah Sater. Purim had this added feature, an added aspect to it, that there was a new Kabbalah Sater. That's what the Chachamim had a tradition. Kima v'kibla means that there was a new Kabbalah Sater on the occasion of Nes Purim. So on Purim we're celebrating two things. One, we're celebrating an anticipation of the building of the third Beis Hamikdash. Like on Chanukah, we do the same. During the Bayesheni period, when they celebrated Purim and Chanukah, it was in commemoration of what happened in the past. But after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, we no longer celebrate in commemoration. All the other Yom Tov Megillas Tainis were botlu. And these two, Chanukah, Purim, remain because we're celebrating in anticipation of the building of the third Beis Hamikdash, that Purim was an Aschalta de Geula. And that as Chanukah was brought about in order to demonstrate to Bnei Yisrael that there is a Hashuas Hashchina, which will pop up in the third Beis Hamikdash. That's what the Novi Chagai said. So one thing we're celebrating is an anticipation of the building of the third Beis Hamikdash. And the second aspect that we celebrate on Purim is the Kabbalah Sater. So everyone should learn a little bit, spend a little time on Purim, learning a little bit. In fact, some of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch point out that Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, Purim is 30 days before Pesach, so you have to start learning Hilchas Pesach. So one should spend a little time on Purim learning, because it's a day of Kabbalah Sater. That's why we have an elaborate meal on Purim. And we should start learning Hilchas Pesach. The most popular mitzvah on Purim, everybody knows about is Mikra Megillah. That's the one that hardly, it doesn't even say in the Megillah. It says that we should make, Yimei Mishnah B'Simcha Hashlach Manas Yisrael Matanis L'Avyonim. Where does it say that you should read the Megillah? So the Gemara explains on the first half of Megillah, it says, Hayamim Ha'ela Nizkarim Bina Asim. So the word Nizkarim doesn't mean that the days are remembered, it means the days are spoken of. Lahazakir. Lizkar means to remember, Lahazka means to mention. So the Gemara understands that Pshatan Paska, Hayam Ha'ela Nizkarim Bina Asim, these days are spoken of, namely, by Mikra Megillah. That's the Pasuk that says Mikra Megillah. A lot of people have the practice to go to the Megillah Leil Purim, and in the morning they don't bother to go to the Mikra Megillah. From the Gemara you see just the reverse. The Mikra Megillah Bayom is the Iker Mitzvah. Rav Shlomo Levilna has this Chiddush, Rav Soloveitchik always used to say it over. Rav Shlomo Levilna has a Chiddush in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo that Bizman Bayisheni, when they celebrated Purim, they only had Mikra Megillah Bayom. Mikra Megillah Balayla was a Chiddush, and the Mishnah never says, only talks about Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, never says a word Balayla. Rabbi Shua Balevi was the last generation of Tanoim, first generation of Amoraim. He's the first one that says about Mikra Megillah Balayla. So that's what the many accept Rabbi Shlomo Levilna's suggestion, that the Mikra Megillah Balayla was instituted Bizman HaAmoraim, but the Iker Mikra Megillah is really Bayom. You have to make sure you come to hear the Megillah Bayom. The Gemara says there is a machlokes in the Gemara. Interesting, a machlokes between Rav and one of his students, whether Mikra Megillah needs a minyan or not. Can you be yotze Mikra Megillah? Because the whole purpose of Mikra Megillah is pesumi nisa. You say the bracha shasen nisim lavasena when you're laying the Megillah. You only say shasen nisim when there's an element of pesumi nisa involved. On Chanukah you say shasen nisim. On Leil Pesach when you have haseba and abrakosis. So the Rishonim explained that Brocha Asher Gi'alonu B'Goalas Avosenu Mitzrayim is the equivalent of Shasa Nisim. So the purpose of Mikra Megillah is to accomplish Pesumei Nisa. So it makes more sense. You should have a minyan. You should have Mikra Megillah Basar. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara. Do you need a minyan or not? So the Gemara says, even though Rav disagreed with his student, Rav Asi, he was machmer l'chatchila like the student. The Rebbe had their cheretz for the Talmud's opinion. Today we live in a generation, nobody has their cheretz for anybody. The Rebbe had their cheretz for the Talmud's opinion. So that's how it says in Shulchan Aruch, we pass a mikra, then you don't need a minyan. But it's a heder to be mahadet to satisfy the opinion of Rav Asi, you should have mikra megillah basor. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, there is a machlokes, what kind of asora is this? It's asora to have pesumei nisa. When you have asora to say kadosh kedusha baruch hu adov shebikdusha, to have kriyas ator, you have to have asora anoshim. You have to have 10 men as opposed to 10 women. Maybe here, since the Mikra Megillah Basor is not a Dovish Bigdush, it's for the purpose of Pesumei Nisa, so maybe it's acceptable if you have 10 women, if you have 5 men and 5 women. So that's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramor recommends, that's Tosfos and Brocha says like that, the Ramor recommends you should always try to have 10 men. It's not right for the women to make a separate Mikra Megillah. They're not following what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They'll be missing this Hidur. There's a Hidur l'chatchila to have Mikra Megillah Basor. And in fact, the Ramor writes that the minig is at the bracha that you say after Mikra Megillah, or Rabbis Rebbeinu Badonis Dineinu, etc. So the Mishnah says that's an optional bracha. The brachas, the 3 brachas you say before Mikra Megillah, that you're obligated to recite the 3 brachas. The bracha that said after Mikra Megillah, or Rabbis Rebbeinu, so the Mishnah says, Mokam Shinog Levarch Yvarch, Mokam Shinog Levarch, Lo Yvarch. It depends on the meaning HaMokam. So the Ramor writes in Shulchan Aruch, based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that you only recite the Bracha, Harav Sirveinu, if you read the Megillah Basorah. So if you're going to have a minion of only 10 women, so they're going to be cheating themselves. They won't be able to say Harav Sirveinu, because the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Balei HaTosfos held that shita. That for Purim also, you need 10 men to have Mikra Megillah. Sometimes all the men heard the Mikra Megillah in Shul, and the women had to take care of their children, so they have a separate minyan for the women later. So it's taka, the women are being cheated. They're not hearing Mikra Megillah Basara, and they shouldn't say the bracha Rabbis Rivenu. In order to say Rabbis Rivenu, you have to have Asara Anoshim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The commentaries on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, the Zohar, is quoted by the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes this, and this was always the minyan, that the Zohar has a whole explanation why a woman shouldn't even read the Megillah for herself. That's already a big chiddush. Strictly speaking, a woman can read the Megillah to be moitzi a man also. let's say, if the husband just can't go to shul, he's not well, and you can't get a balkari to learn for the husband. Husband is sick and the wife is healthy. So strictly speaking, mikra din, the wife can read the Megillah to be mitzi the husband. Taisis quotes the view of the halachas gedolos, that's a sefer that was written in the days of the Gaonim, that the obligation of the women is not on the same level as the obligation of the men in mikra Megillah, so therefore a woman cannot read the Megillah to be mitzi a man. So out of respect for the halachas gedolos, we don't permit it. There are some shuls where they do permit it. They're disrespectful to the halachas gedolos. Taisus a lot of times disagrees with the halachas gedolos, but out of respect, the sefer was written in the days of the Gaonim, so out of respect for the halachas gedolos, called the Rav Dirik Abola, so we don't want to violate what he said. The halachas gedolos is the one who came up with the chiddush, that if you missed Sfira Saima one day, you can't continue to count. So out of respect, we don't follow that opinion. We don't hold like that opinion. Out of respect for halachas gedolos, if one who forgot to count Sfira one day, you do continue to count, but you don't say the bracha, because the Bahag says you're not yotzi anything if you missed one day. We don't really pass like that, but we have respect for the shita that has not been accepted. We have respect for the halachas gedolos. Likewise over here, we have respect for the opinion of the halachas gedolos that a woman should not read the Megillah for a man unless he really gets stuck, so you have no brera, so the woman can read the Megillah. But this is already what the Zohar said, that's already a bigger chiddush. That's our pi kabbalah, that a woman shouldn't even read the Megillah for herself. The woman should always have a man to read the Megillah for her. And if you read the Megillah, you don't have 10, you don't have asara. So the minig is, the Ramah says, minig is that you don't say the bracha afterwards, or rabbi's revein. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with that. The Vilna Gaon is of the opinion, he says that it's a mistake. When the Yerushalmi says you don't say the bracha shalachreha unless you have a minion, that goes on an aliyah. You don't say a bracha. Let's say when you finish learning and you go to sleep at night, you don't say, Ashenasan lanu teres emes. You only say the bracha Ashenasan lanu when you get an aliyah basara. But if a yochid finishes learning, he doesn't say a bracha shalach reha. So the Vilna Gaon says that Yerushalmi is not talking about Megillah, it's talking about Kriyas HaTorah. But that's not the practice throughout all the generations for many centuries was like the Ramah quotes from centuries before, that you don't say the bracha Rabbis Yerveinu unless you have asara. And the Ramah says it should be asara gvarim, it should be 10 men. 10 women is not enough. The Gemara says regarding the Sudas Purim, the Gemara says Sudas Purim shaso balayla lo yotzei dechavasa, because the pasuk says lasa sosim yimei mishte v'simcha yimei yamim v'lo leilas. So the Rishonim have a machlokes how to understand this Gemara, that if you did the Sudas Purim balayla you're not yotzei, means you're not yotzei anything. The Suda has to be only bayom, not balayla, or means no, that's not sufficient. Just like every yontif, you have a suda achas balayla, achas bayom. So Purim also, you have to have one suda balayla and one suda bayom. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the two opinions, and they recommend that once you have one suda balayla, I have one suda bayom. I live in Washington Heights with all the yekes. So in Germany, they used to have different minhagim in different parts of the country. Some would have fleishiks on Leil Purim, some would have milchiks. And the Rambam says that the Surah of Purim should be basa b'yayin, and the yayin should be adalo yoda. Adalo yoda, to get drunk on Purim, is not a separate mitzvah. That's a chelik of the mitzvah of Suras Purim. If you get drunk, not in the middle of the Surah, so the Rambam says, you're not yotze anything. You're a shikah. The mitzvah is to have a Suras Purim that should be basa b'yayin, like on Shabbos and Yantam, and the yayin should be a lot of yayin, adalo yoda. So those who had the minik to have dafke milchiks, Leil Purim, not that flesh, because they want to demonstrate that the suit of Leil Purim doesn't count for anything. The suit is only bayom. And the other kehilas had a minig, no, you have fleshiks bayom or balaylo, because they understood the Gemara like the other Rishonim, Suda's Purim, if he made balaylo, it's not sufficient. You have to have a suit of balaylo bayom, like on every Shabbos and Yom. So you should have fleshiks basavayayim balaylo, have fleshiks basavayayim bayom as well. What does it mean, adalo yoda? So the Gemara tells a story that one of the Chachamim got so drunk that he killed someone. That's a simple translation. He murdered someone on Purim. He was so shikar. And then he felt awful about it, so he made a tchias hameisim. So the next year, he said, let's eat together. And the other one said, the Rabban Shalom is not going to make a nes every year. Just because he succeeded in making tchias hameisim last year, may not happen this year. Is he afraid he's going to kill him? That's a simple translation of the words of the Gemara. So some of the commentaries on the Gemara understand that the reason why the Gemara told that story is to indicate that we don't accept that shita. The first opinion was you have to get drunk ad lo yoda, and that's terrible, you're not allowed to do that. We don't follow that opinion. But that's not the opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, they quote that there is a din, you have to drink adol yada. But it doesn't mean a person should get stone drunk. He's going to walk around like a shikr. The Ramah says all it means you have to drink yosem milimud, you have to drink more than you would normally drink until you become so drowsy that you take a nap. So a person should have sudas purim, they should have basa v'yayin, and the yayin should be yosem milimudai, more wine than he usually drinks, and the wine should cause him to be a little tired. When you get a little drunk, get a little tired. He should make sure that he benches, and after he benches, he should take a nap. It's interesting. I remember my father had some Hasidic sefer at home. I don't remember which sefer it was. So this Hasidic Rebbe was interpreting that the reason why you have to take a nap on Purim. Because on the occasion of Maimon HaSina, this week's Sedra, so the Medrash says that people were so excited they were waiting for the day. The Medrash says they were counting Sfiras HaOmer. They knew it's going to be 7 weeks later. Every day they were counting when it's going to come Shavuos, Kabbalah Sater. Then in the morning of Shavuos, everybody was sleeping. How could they be sleeping? They were counting. They were so excited. L'kavod Kabbalah Sater. So this Hasidic Rebbe says that most of the prophet, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah, writes about the differences between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of the other prophets. So all the other prophets had a Nevuah B'chaloim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who had a Nevuah B'hokets. So the people knew there's going to be Kabbalah HaTorah, there's going to be a Nevuah. So they all thought they have to go to sleep in order to have the Nevuah. Then Moshe Rabbeinu wakes him up and says, no, everybody's going to be on the Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu. This is going to be a Nevuah B'Hokets. Everyone's going to have the Gilu Shechina, going to hear it directly. They're all going to hear it. So that was at the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. But the Kimu B'Kiblu on Shavuos, that's B'Hokets. That's B'Chaloim. That's not B'Hokets. So every year, we should take a nap. We should drink so much wine till it's going to make us drowsy. We're going to go to sleep. And when we be sleeping, we'll be able to be zeichet to Kabbalah Satara B'chaloim, like the other Nevi'im. An interesting insight, because that's one of the two themes that we celebrate on Purim. One theme is we're celebrating in anticipation of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash. The other theme is we're celebrating on the occasion of Kabbalah Satara anew. When one recites the Birchas HaMazon on Purim, it is required that he should mention Al HaNisim in the Birchas HaMazon. On Chanukah, the Gemara says, the Chacham Malam made a takana to recite Al HaNisim in the Shemoneh Esrei. The reciting of Al HaNisim in the Birchas HaMazon is only a minhag. That's what the Gemara says in Bamei Madlikin. So if a person forgets Al HaNisim on Chanukah, he certainly doesn't have to bench over again. There is no obligation to have a Suda at all. You're not allowed to fast on Chanukah, but you don't have to have a Suda with Lechem. On Purim, you're obligated to have a Suda. You're mechuyev to have a Suda. It's not a Suda of Shus. And the Magen Avraham has a machlokes. What if a person benches on Purim and he forgot to say Al HaNisim? Does he have to bench over again or not? So the Magen Avraham thinks that this machlokes, whether Al HaNisim is likuva, depends whether you have to have lechem or not. If the din requires the Suda Purim, you have to wash, then you have to bench, then you have to say Al HaNisim. If you don't say Al HaNisim, you're not Yotze. You weren't kaveh the Suda as a Suda Purim. But if you already can be Yotze the Suda Purim without washing, you don't have to wash, then you could have said Bar Nefashos at the end. You didn't have to benching at all. Bar Nefashos, you don't mention Purim. So you can't say because the guy had bread and he didn't say Al HaNisim, it's not Yotze. He didn't have the bread in the first place. He could have had a Suda without any bread. So the Magen Avraham says he thinks that that's the machlokes. Does Suda Purim require pas or not? Or HaShulchan takes issue with the Magen Avraham. He thinks that everybody agrees that you cannot fulfill a Suda. Let's say you go to a wedding, and you don't want to stay to the end. So you don't want to get an asik with a bench and mezumen. You're not allowed, if you have three people, shlosh shocha kachas, you're not supposed to leave unless you bench mezumen. So a lot of people go to a wedding, you don't wash. Or you want to diet, so you don't want to eat so much bread. So you don't want to wash. So that's a shaila. Are you yotze the suras chasana? Suras chasana is the suras mitzvah. You have a sheva brachas. Are you yotze the suras mitzvah if you don't wash? So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks he has a raya beferish from the Shulchan Aruch that whenever a person has to eat a suras mitzvah like a chasana or on Purim, bevada you're not yotze unless you wash. And the machloikas achreinim that the Magen Avraham quoted is a different machloikas. Maybe even though you have to wash, maybe reciting Al HaNisim is not li'ikuv. So merely more correct is that we should take a wash for the Suda Spur. And then you should bench and make sure that you remember to say Al HaNisim, because it'll be a machlokes if you forget to say Al HaNisim, whether you have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon or not. Many people have the practice, described in the Shulchan Aruch, that you start the Suras Purim late in the afternoon, and then you finish when it's already in the middle of the night, because in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes, and the accepted psak is that as long as you started the meal on Shabbos or Yom Tov or on Purim, even though the time that you're benching is already after Shabbos is over, after Yom Tov, after Purim is over already, you still say Ritzei and you still say Al HaNisim. But it's really a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. So more correct is you should avoid it. I remember many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik used to go on vacation to Anzet. They had a summer home there. He never liked it, but his wife wanted to go on vacation, so he went along with her. After she passed away, he didn't go back to Anzet anymore. So I remember once it was Rosh Chodesh. There was no minyan for Mincha Ma'ariv there. There was only a minyan for Shacharis. There was never a minyan for Mincha Ma'ariv. So Rav Soloveitchik's mother was benching. She ate on Rosh Chodesh, and she was middle of benching. I was eating by the Meiselmans, Rabbi Meiselman's parents. And so we went to wash. When Rav Soloveitchik's mother was benching, we went to wash. So we sat down, we said Hamoitzi on Rosh Chodesh, and we were going to continue eating and finish eating on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. So when the Rav's mother finished benching, she turns to us and she says in Yiddish, Bochum learn in the yeshivas all their lives, and they don't know it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, where they say, Yalav Yavoy, if you began on Rosh Chodesh and you finished after, you don't do what you did. Either you bench before the Shkia, or you start eating after Tzeis HaKochav. You don't do what you did. So ever since, I always try to do like that. On Shabbos, many places, that's the minig. You wash Shalashudas on Shabbos. You don't bench till Doomsday. You don't bench till way after Tzeis HaKochav. So whenever I can, I always avoid that, because I still hear it ringing in my ears. Bachem Elohim and Yeshiva, they don't know it's a machlokes. You always have to avoid that. So the Vilna Gaon says, on Shabbos is a little better, there's more room to say, because it's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. So Moshe Mechol Al HaKadosh, it still is Shabbos, but there's no such concept of Tosefes Purim. There's no Kedushas HaYom HaPurim. So Purim is Mamish the Machlokes. Shabbos is also Machlokes. But the Vilna Gaon thinks that there's more reason to say that on Shabbos you do say Ritzei because of Tosefes Shabbos. But on Purim, there is no Tosefes Purim. So really, more correct is, we should arrange the Suda in such a way that we should finish eating before the Shkia and bench and say Al HaNisim and then take the nap. Then take the nap afterwards. There is a mitzvah of Shalach Manas. So a lot of people buy all kinds of junk foods. They buy candies and they buy gumdrops, all kinds of raisins, all kinds of nasharai. The Chayodim is not happy about that. The Chayodim has an interpretation, a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. You have to have real things that you would serve in a meal, not nasharai. You have to have a nice challah, a big piece of fish, a nice piece of chicken, a nice piece of flesh, something, a bottle of wine. You have to give something. Machlokes is whether you yotze with beverages or only with food. So something has to be davka food. Machlokes. So really, more correct is you shouldn't give these nash. Even though it makes a beautiful, fancy, exotic shalach manis, but you're really supposed to give courses and a meal. More correct, the best way to be yotze shalach manis is to invite people to eat by you. They're eating your suda together with you. So one of the Bach has a comment on a Rashi in Maseches Megillah. If I invite you to eat by me, we're both yotze shalach manis. How are we both yotze shalach manis? I gave you didn't give me anything. He says shalach manis means you have to share your suda's purim with somebody else whom you usually don't share it with. I always eat with my wife and my children, the single children. My married children don't eat by me, so if they come, that's shalach manis. You have to eat your suda's purim with somebody else. So if somebody visits by me, I'm eating suda's purim with him, he's eating suda's purim with me. So according to the Bach's interpretation of Rashi, we're both yotzei shalach manis. If I send a suda to your home, so I'm sharing my suda's purim with you, but you're not sharing with me. You're eating all along. I was eating suda's purim. I gave you a chelik of my suda that you should eat over there. So if I send the shalach manas to your home, I'm yotze shalach manas, you're not yotze. But if you eat by me in my home, there's one opinion that we're both yotze shalach manas. But that's a normal shalach manas. Normal shalach manas is someone eats by, I invite someone to eat by me. So that's mama, she's eating the Suda's Purim with me. Or we send it to the person's home. let's say you're going to send $50 to the shul and tell them, please pick two people, whomever you pick, and send shalach manas for me. The pashtus is that you're not yotzei shalach manas. Shalach manas has to be, it's for the purpose of developing more friendship, and you have to know who the person is that you're developing the friendship with. I just say, give shalach manas to two people, whomever you want, and then the people in the shul arrange it. That's what you can do for matanas lev yanim. In the days of the Gemara, how did they fulfill matanas lev yanim? So the Gemara says in Bab Metzia, not all of the hilchas purim appear in Maseches Megillah. Some appear in Bab Metzia. Some appear in other Masechtas. So the Gemara in Bab Metzia says, how did they observe matanas lev yanim in the days of the Gemara? All the people chipped in, they raised a lot of money, then they made a big suda for all the aniyim in the city, and they all ate, all the aniyim ate in the suda, and everybody was yetzi, matanas lev yanim. You don't have to know who the evyon is, you don't have to give it specifically to the evyon. You see to it that two evyonim are eating a meal, and showing some achroidim discuss how much they have to give for matanas lev yanim, how much money they have to give. So some say you have to give a shavar puta. And others say, what kind of shavar puta? You have to give enough that the evyon would be able to buy a salami sandwich with a bottle of soda at least, to have a suras purim, not the shavar puta. You have to give $5-$10 for each evyon. So that's not so bad. If they collect matanas lev yanim and they give the money to aniyim, some totally impersonal, I don't know who the evyon is, they're going to give the money, machalik the money in Eretz Yisrael to evyonim, machalik the money in Brooklyn and in Muncie, whatever, I don't know who in the world the evyonim are, that doesn't seem to be a problem. Matanas lev yanim is not for the purpose of developing friendship. It's a fancy form of tzedakah, a special form of tzedakah. Simchas Yontov, you always have to give tzedakah. But shalach manas, the pashtus is, you have to know who the people are that you're sending the shalach manas to, and you should really give something that's considered a course in a meal, a kugel, a piece of challah, a piece of flesh, a piece of fish, something like that. The Chazon Ish has an original interpretation in a Yerushalmi, and it comes up that it's possible that a person will sometimes be obligated to observe both days of Purim, both Yudal and Tezvav, and it's possible that a person will not be obligated to observe Purim at all. So he interprets in the Yerushalmi that if you're in Tel Aviv on Yudal and you're in Yerushalayim on Tezvav, you're obligated to observe both days Purim. You have to hear the Mikra Megillah four times. You have to have Adla Yoda both days. You have to have Svudas Purim. You have to have Shalach Manas, Matanas, Lavyan, the whole works. And if you're in Yerushalayim on Yudalit and Tel Aviv on Tezvav, you're not Mechuyiv at all. The Gemara says it all depends where you are for that day. Horas Banyam and Mikropar, doesn't depend where you live Kavua, depends where you happen to be. It's based on that Gemara that the Gemara, the Bavli says, Horas Banyam and Mikropar, if you're only there for the day, so you go according to that. That's why they were recent poskim who came up with the idea that if you have Bnei Chutz L'Aretz who are visiting Eretz Yisrael on Yontif, if they're here just for the day, they only observe one day Yontif. All depends where you are there for the day. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say like that. In the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael, lived in Tzvat in the 1500s, and he writes in his Tshuvas that there were always Jews from the tourists, Jewish tourists, visiting Eretz Yisrael for Shalosh Regalim. They came. They didn't come from America. They didn't come from Europe. They came from the neighboring Arab countries. They would come to Eretz Yisrael. It says the minhag always was that they observed 2 days Yontif. They observed Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, even though they were in Eretz Yisrael. That was always the practice in Eretz Yisrael. That's the majority opinion, that a Ben Chutz L'Aretz is visiting Eretz Yisrael is obligated for Yontif only temporarily, but Daita Lachzer, that he has to observe both days Yontif. And then Chacham Tzvi lived in the 1700s, and he disagreed. He never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. It was never zecha to come to Eretz Yisrael. He had to do a lot of running. He had to run away from Chmelnytskyi. He lived in Vilna at the same time as the Shach. They all had to run for their lives. The Chalkas Mechak, they all had to run away. He ran to London. He ran to Amsterdam. He was a different place, but he never got to Eretz Yisrael. So he was of the opinion that even if you're just a guest visiting in Eretz Yisrael, you only observe one day Yontif. But that was not the common practice in so many centuries. The practice always was like the Beis Yosef, like Rabbi Yosef Karo, that the tourists in Eretz Yisrael are obligated to observe 2 days Yom Tov. In recent years, more people started following the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi. That's why I mentioned the Minkacha, Minchas Eluzer. So he writes based on this Gemara Megillah, that Paris Ben Yom and Mikri Paris, if you're in Tel Aviv, just for the day, even though you live Kavua in Yerushalayim, or you live Kavua in Tel Aviv, and you're visiting Yerushalayim, wherever you are for that day, that's your din. So based on that Gemara Megillah, he thought the same should be for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. He writes in one of his tshuvas in the Minchas Eluzer that he always wanted to visit Eretz Yisrael. He used to correspond with the Sova Kadisha, Halaf Andri. And he used to correspond with him, and Halacha, and Kabbalah. And then he always wanted to visit Eretz Yisrael to meet Halaf Andri in person. And then he kept on writing him, the Sova Kadisha kept on writing, not yet, not yet. I'll tell you when to come. Then finally he sent him a letter, Ki bo moyei, now is the time to come. So he sends him back, I'm baking matzahs now, I can't come now, it's a month before Pesach, I'll come after Pesach is over. So he came after Pesach, that's when the Sova Kadisha passed away. He died when he was in Eretz Yisrael. And he had such a good time, the Minchas Eluzer had such a good time touring Eretz Yisrael, so he wanted to stay on longer, but he realized he's going to make a big machlokes, because in Eretz Yisrael, Minchas Eluzer died in the 1930s, before the Nazis started killing everybody. So he wanted to stay on longer, but he realized he's going to make a machlokes, because in Eretz Yisrael, the Pesach HaMekubal was that tourists who are visiting observe 2 days Yom Tov. He wrote in his chivas, he's an Ungarish. So he wrote in his chivas in Minchas Eluzer, that's only 1 day Yom Tov. So he knew he's going to make a whole stir. So he writes in his chivas, he left before Shavuos, even though he wanted to stay on longer. He didn't want to make machlokes, so he left. That's Yadua, that during the lifetime of Rav Kook thought the din should be like the Chacham Tzvi also. And they had a lot of tourists would come from Europe, wealthy Balabatim would come to visit Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. So they would observe 2 days Yom Tov. So Rav Kook was very upset, and he said, you should only observe 1 day Yom Tov. So he used to say that it's Daita Lachzor, so he used to say, you're a Lav Bardas. What do you mean Daita Lachzor? You're a Lav Bardas. So a lot of them were so enraged. How can he give me such an insult? Many of those people were killed by the Nazis later. They have this story, a famous story by Rav Kook, that one of the hotels was catering to the tourists from Europe. And they were going to have 2 days Yom Tov, they were going to have 2 sedorim. So he needed a hashgacha from somebody from one of the prominent rabbis. So he asked Rav Kook, he'll give a hashgacha. So he was the chief rabbi at that time. So he asked, are you going to have 2 sedorim or 1 seder? So he said, they're going to have 2 sedorim. So he said, I can't give a hashgacha at Shaloi Kedin. It's only supposed to be 1 seder. So he said, but all the tourists from Chutz, they want to observe 2 days. Sorry, can't give a hashgacha. So how can he keep the hotel open? He's not going to have hashgacha. Rav Kook is not going to give him hashgacha. He didn't know what to do. So he asked one of the businessmen, what should I do? Who's going to give a hashgacha? So they told Menei to go to America's Rav Kook, go to Rav Kook's yeshiva. Pick a young Avreich who has a lot of children and needs a little parnasa, and ask him, and he'll give the hashgacha. So of course he's going to agree. Then after he'll agree, promise to give him a significant schiris, and he'll give the hashgacha. Then after he'll agree to give the hashgacha, ask him, maybe you can ask the Rosh Yeshiva to endorse the hashgacha. So Rav Kook is not going to ruin his parnasa. So that's what happened. He went, he got an Avreich to agree to give the hashgacha, and then he said, can you speak to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Kook, that he should endorse the hashgacha? So he said, sure. He didn't know that the Balabas already went to Rav Kook. So he went to Rav Kook, so he realizes, this is a wise guy. He's going through the back door, he's going to get. So he thought for a moment, he says, okay, I'll endorse the hashgacha on the condition that they have music playing the second night, they have an orchestra playing music the second night of Pesach to demonstrate that it's not really Yom Tov. So all the Bnei Chutz Lors were praving the second Seder, and the hotel had an orchestra playing music to demonstrate that Rav Kook held that it's not Yom Tov. A famous maaser they have it written up. So the Chazon Ish had this original interpretation that if you're in Yerushalayim on Tezvav and you're in Tel Aviv on Yud Daled, you're obligated to observe both days. And if you're in Yerushalayim on Yud Daled and Tel Aviv on Tezvav, you don't have any mitzvah of Purim at all. You can avoid the whole observance of Purim. They say that there was a professor years ago who didn't like the celebration of Purim because ben folo yivchal tismach. It's not right to celebrate over the victory over your enemies. And he followed the Chazon Ish. He was in Yerushalayim on Yudala and Tel Aviv on Tezvav, in order that you don't have to be obligated at all. That's how they say. He was a famous personality, a famous character. Others deny it, they say it's not true, but it fits in with his personality. They think that he really did it. Yeah. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't hold like. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't agree with that Chazon Ish, that the Kibim B'chuyivim both, the Kibim B'chuyivim neither. Mishnah Berurah holds that it's not so. Somebody asked me today, some of the girls asked when I visited a girls' school today, is there an inyan to go out of your way to Dafke, to be in Chutz Yerushalayim on Yudala, and to be in Yerushalayim on Tezvav, in order to observe both days? Come on, you know, there's no... You should be in one or the other to observe. It's not right to pata yourself from both, but mukhiv to go stand on your head in order to be mukhiv in both. Pashta is certainly not mukhiv. If you happen to be in both cities, then mukhiv to observe both days. But to recommend as Amidas Chasidus, the Pashtus is not mechuyev to do that. There was a meaning that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that on Purim, the people would dress up as if they're somebody other than they really are. This is based, they say it's based on the Pasuk in the Megillah that says, Rabbi Me'am Oretz Misyahadim, Kenof Alaleh Pachad HaYehudim. So how do you translate the word Misyahadim? So many say that they converted. They became Jewish because they were afraid the Jews were going to kill them. Now they say they dressed up as if they were Jewish. They didn't convert. Who's going to convert them? They didn't convert. They dressed up as if they were Jewish. So because it says in the Megillah, according to this interpretation, that they dressed up, so they developed a meaning that people dressed up on Purim to make believe that there's something other than who they really are. So some had the practice. They would have men dress up as women, women dressed up as men. So this is really a questionable practice because in Shulchan Aruch it says, Chumash it says, Liyabash Gevesim Alisha, Liyak Legever Alisha. So in the Shulchan Aruch they justify this practice. And they say, the Pasuk says, Keteravas Hashem, it's a derech to Eva. Rashi says, it's only prohibited to dress up, a man should dress up like a woman, a woman should dress like a man, if the woman is going to go amongst men and do something improper, something preetzedek. But the man is going to dress up as a woman and go into the women's section and do something improper. But if they're just a part of a skit, part of a play, a part of a shtick, and everybody knows that it's shtick. So there are many who think that it's permissible. But it is a machlokes. There were those who hold that it's not permissible. The shaila is if it's raining outside, then the only umbrella that you have is a pink umbrella, and it's clearly a woman's umbrella. Or it's raining outside, the woman wants to wear a raincoat, she's going to wear a man's raincoat. Or a man is going to wear a woman's raincoat, a pink raincoat, whatever. So the Chacham Sodom writes that it's not derech to'eva, so it's mutter. And there were others who are not so convinced. So Rashi and Chumash, others are not so convinced about that. So really, there's no mitzvah to go dress up like a man should dress up like a woman, should dress like a man. What do you need it for? But in the Shulchan Aruch, they justify the practice. Those who have that practice, so they say it is what to justify. No, we should all be zeichet to celebrate on Purim properly, be yetzu all the mitzvahs, and to have in mind both kavanas that we are celebrating the new Kabbalah Satira, Kima v'Kiblu, and it's that Kabbalah Satira, that's the Bris HaChadosha that enabled us to establish the Medina in 1948, and that's what will enable us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash soon, the Meher Yameinu, and also both we're celebrating Kabbalah Satira, and we're celebrating also in anticipation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe we'll have some questions and answers. Open the floor for discussion.
I remember one Chalsa is from YU with Rosh Chodesh at Mufi Shabbat. I think Rebbe was present. I think we benched after Shkia.
Yeah, whenever I eat Shalashudas in the Yeshiva, they always bench after the Shkia, so I got no choice. But when I eat Shalashudas at home, so I'm usually careful to bench before the Shkia. Yeah, yeah. If it's Rosh Chodesh, then there's the Mishnah Berurah says, if Rosh Chodesh is Sunday, so you can't say Ritzei and Yalav Yov. He said, that's a tie to this Asri. So he says, you have to make up your mind. Either you say Ritzei, you say Yalav Yov. And the minig is not so. The minig is that if you started eating on Shabbos and you're going to bench after Shabbos, since Tchilas Hasuda was on Shabbos, we allow you to say Ritzei. And if you ate some challah after Shkia, after Tzei Sekochavim, Hamatzoy Shabbos, when it's Rosh Chodesh, the minig is not like the Mishnah, but minig is, and you say both. You say Ritzeh and Yal V'Yav. It's not a tie to the Sasa. You ate both on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh. Why is it a tie to the Sasa? You go bus a Tchilas HaSuda also. But if you ate on Rosh Chodesh, you say Yal V'Yav. So you say both. The minig is not like the Mishnah Brewer. You remember correctly? Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I think it's still room to negotiate. It's still a shayla. The meaning is that you eat a little challah on Matzoy Shabbos after Tzeis HaKohanim. Then for sure, the meaning is that you say both. Strictly speaking, should have been the same. Even if you don't eat any bread after a laila, you should also say both because you're benching Amar Shchodesh. Benching Amar Shchodesh, even though the meal belonged to Shabbos. We solved all the world's problems. And, oh, yes, we didn't solve all the world's problems. Yes.
So, my hope is that if we read this mitzvah and halachos of melech, right, the question is super needs to perform. A lot of people, especially with kids, they want to get up early, go to a matzvah and yotzi in a good way, and then, you know, you come back later, you're free, and your kids, et cetera. Is there a stick of an argument not to do that because you're not participating in a bigger, more sympathetic, slower minyan, and the kids are there, it's later yet?
Yeah, yeah. There is room to argue, definitely so. But yeah, it depends. Look, that's a hider mitzvah to have it berovam haras malchus a hider. The question if it's going to foul up the whole day, then you can't do all the hidur. But if not, then it's preferable to have a hider of having a bigger group.
Why would we cook so against keeping 2 days for the chutzlars necessarily? That's what we should know.
He felt the dinners like the Mincha Saluza. He felt the dinners like the Chacham Tzvi. Rabbi Soloveitchik's father had a hachro that one is visiting from Chutz Lortz, Eretz Yisrael, is not permitted that they call it a day and a half now. So some thought it means a day and a half. You don't do malacha till after Chatzais, then you do malacha. That's not what it means. The nickname day and a half was not invented by Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's people made up that lash. Day and a half means the second day. You daven tefillas chol and you put on tefillin with a bracha, and you don't shake a lulav. You don't observe the mitzvahs hayom, but the yisam malach you do observe. It's a complicated explanation. Why there's a difference between the yisam malach and the other mitzvahs hayom? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that the one and only time that he visited Eretz Yisrael when he was a candidate for the rabbanus in Tel Aviv, I think 1935, that was the year Rav Kook died. So he visited Rav Kook on his deathbed. Kook died Gimel Elo, I think 35. So Rav Soloveitchik was there. So his father was still alive, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're like tefillin on the second day Shavuos with our bracha. So he said, it happened the second day Shavuos with Shabbos. So nobody liked tefillin. But that's his father's psak. The students would ask him, what should they do if they're visiting Eretz Yisrael? They used to give him this psak from his father, that they have to observe Yisam Malocha on the second day, but they don't do any of the mitzvahs hayom. I personally don't follow that. I follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're visiting Eretz Yisrael, so you're only temporarily visiting. So you observe 2 days Yom Tov. It's complicated. If you do it the other way, it's very complicated. I put on tefillin without a bracha. They say Reb Shlomo Zalman recommended, once you put on tefillin, those B'nai Chutz Lortz are observing Yom Tov Sheni Misofei, so you should put on tefillin without a bracha. And then I'll go to shul to listen to Havdolah Amitzoy Yom Tov Rishon. And all the shuls that say Havdolah after the first day is over. So I listen to Avdol, and then I go home, I'll say Kiddush. And then I'll have my Sudas Yantam to say Yalav Yavai. And I say Yalav Yavai and Chalamayit anyway, but let's say the last day is Yantam. Okay. Might as well do as much as he can to satisfy. We try to satisfy all the opinions. We have respect for all the opinions. We try to satisfy all the opinions. Yeah. You live in Eretz Yisrael permanently, so you only observe 1 day. They are tourists, so they should follow what is on the Shulchan Aruch. They should observe 2 days. If you have a whole group of people coming from Chutz La'aretz and they're all going to be together, a whole family, a whole group from Mishul coming together, So then you have an issue of loises goyder. You're not allowed to have some people follow one shita, some people follow the other shita. So you have to follow the rov. So whatever the rov, so if the rov are going to observe 2 days yontif, so the miyut should also observe now 2 days. If the rov are going to observe 1 day yontif, so the miyut should only observe 1 day yontif. Then the next yontif, they'll see what's going to be. Every yontif, they have to judge independently. But that's not right. To have a group together, together in the same hotel, or the whole family is all together, and the rov of the adults, leave out the children before bar mitzvah, the rov of the adults are going to be doing one thing, and the miyut going to do the other thing, that's a violation of Lois's goodness. So the miyut has to follow the rov. Because they're both legitimate opinions. There are posts come and say like this. They say the Lubavitcher Rebbe always said, you only observe 1 day yontif. He felt like the Chacham Tzvi, like the Mincha Soluza. You only observe 1 day yontif if you're visiting Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Kara writes it's not permissible to set up a second day yontif. That's Lois's Goydidu to make. The Maisa, there always are second day minyan. You shouldn't be the Shegits to set up the minyan. If there already is a second day minyan, so may as well go to it. But it's not proper to establish a yontif Sheni minyan. And so that's not right. Yeah. Chaylik on the Shulchan Aruch. Those who learn Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and the Shach and the Vilna Gaon always disagree. You look in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah reversed the psak that was mukubal for centuries on almost every page in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Olam Alima and Torah. They always disagree with each other. So you have to follow. Ein l'chol l'shefet shebi amecha. Whoever is the Pesach in your generation, you follow. Very often we don't accept the Shulchan Aruch. Do we have to be choshe shvola bahags? We usually try to. The Bahag is the one who came up with this chiddush, and it was greatly debated. All the Rishonim disagreed. He said when the balabas, the bench is licht, it's Tosefes Shabbos for all the members of the family, whether they like it or not. So once the balabas, the bench is licht, so no one's allowed to daven mincha. Because once you're mekabel Shabbos, you're not allowed to daven tefillah schol. So in Europe, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Balei HaTosfos had a practice. They would go to shul and daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. Then they would send the children home to tell the mother to bench licht after they finished mincha and shul. Because they were choshish for the Bahag. If she's going to bench licht first, they're stuck. They can't daven mincha. So that, in the Shulchan Aruch, they say, Rav Soloveitchik said that when he started off his marriage, he started off like that. He was choshish for the Bahag. So he was always makpid to daven mincha before his wife would bench licht. Then as the years went on, it was a little too difficult, so he followed what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They were only choshish for the Bahag a little bit over there. The Balabasta herself, after she benches licht, she shouldn't do any malochas. It's Kabbalah to serve Shabbos for the Balabasta, not for all the Bnei Abayas. Unless it's a big Shas HaTchak, then we permit her to violate the Bahag's opinion. Let's say if she has to go to mikveh or something, she has to do some malocha after benching licht, but it's still not the Shkia, it's still before Shabbos. And then if it's a big Shas HaTchak, we violate the Bahag. But there's no big Shas HaTchak, out of respect for the Bahag, we try to satisfy his opinion. Yeah, we usually try to satisfy the Bahag's opinions. Tosfos writes a lashon called Varv Dibri Kabbalah, because he lived in the days of the Goyim. They're not sure exactly who wrote the Sefer Halachas Gedolah, there are different versions who wrote it, but it's clear that it was written in the period of the Goyim. We usually try to not to violate their sheet. We have respect for the other opinions. Yeah.
Not so for sure to Purim, but since you brought up mincha and candle lighting, is it better for a woman to light candles on time and have them only to dab in mincha after? Because you have like, you light candles 20 minutes or 40 minutes before she gets. Or is it better for her to dab in mincha and then light candles a little later?
More correct is to dab mincha before and to light the candles later. She should dab mincha before, at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
But more correct is to dab mincha before and light after. Correct.
Can you speak a little bit about the mincha that people have where on Shushan Purim they go into the day and then they go to the Suda?
mean this din only if you're in Yerushalayim for Tezvav, you have to observe all the mitzvahs. That's if you're there at Alos HaShachar in the morning. Right. If you come in the middle of the day, the whole din does not apply. Only if you're there at the time of Alos HaShachar. Because the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. So when Alos, you lay in the Megillah the night before, but it's determined where you have to lay in the Megillah in the morning. If you're going to be in Yerushalayim the morning of Tezvav, in the morning at Alos HaShachar, then you, even though you're in Tel Aviv tonight, you have to lay in the Megillah Leil Tezvav because you're going to go to Yerushalayim later, you're going to be there in the morning. But if you're not going to be there in the morning, come in the afternoon, you don't have to observe Shushan Purim. Correct. The Minchas Aluza had a very original opinion. He was of the opinion that both days are Purim. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, there are 2 days Purim. Like there are 7 days of Sukkot, but you only shake the lulav on the first day, lekachta lechem bayam harishon. Lulav all 7 days only at Beis HaMikdash min HaTorah. There's 7 days of Sukkot, and you shake the lulav min HaTorah on the first day. So he used to say, there are always 2 days Purim. And if it's a Shanim Oberes, there are 4 days Purim. All 4 days are also behesped v'tainas. But just the question, from the 4 days, which day do you fulfill all the mitzvahs hayom? So it depends, are the Rishon, are the Sheni, Machlekes HaTanayim, and whether Purim or Shushan Purim. So the Minchas Aluza also held like that. 2 days Purim, so you should say Al HaNisim on both days. Al HaNisim, he felt, is not from the mitzvahs hayom. The Mikra, Megillah, Shalach, Manas, Matanas, Lev, Yerim, Suras, Purim, those are the mitzvahs hayom. But Al HaNisim, that's whichever day is Purim, you got to say Al HaNisim. He said both days are Purim. So he had a personal practice. He didn't introduce it by the Kehillah. He had a personal practice. He had a original, very original thinker. He had a personal practice that he said, Allah nisim an shushan purim also. That's not our practice.
1 day yantav, 2 days purim.
Correct. 1 day yantav and Eretz Yisrael, 2 days purim. Nachum, that's the way to remember.
Very good. Take a minute to get... Thank you very much.